Honorable members, national commissioner and colleagues, members of the media, you are all welcome to this meeting. When you look at the notice of the meeting, the third bullet point talks of a report on the investigation of matters related to the contract that was awarded for the implementation of the electronic monitoring system. I think that was dealt with last week. Just delete that. Then we are left with bullet point one and two. That will be the business of this meeting. We have three apologies, one from Advocate Siman, one from Mr. Swart, and another from Mr. Self. So we are ready to proceed with the meeting. Honorable Mpumlwana is here. I think he has just walked out to answer to the call of nature. The National Commissioner, I guess, without much ado, the floor is yours.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, media also that is present here. I'm here again, Chairperson, with the department's team and delegation. Next to me on my right is the Chief Deputy Commissioner responsible for GITO, Ms. Ntabise Masupie. Next to her is the departmental CFO, Mr. Nick Likege. And on his right is the department Chief Deputy Commissioner responsible for strategic management, Mr. Joseph Katenga. We also have our own support staff that is working from this end. Chairperson, we have, as a department, been called to Portfolio Committee before your term to come and talk about IT and the department's position. And with this committee, Chairperson, last year we came here to come and provide you with where we were and what plans we have. Today's engagement is going to focus on what we have said we want to do last year, and to give the committee then the benefit of the department's progress. But I think what is important today, Chairperson, is also to indicate the challenge that the department has been having over a number of years regarding projects that had been started, but because of slow-moving processes, also in terms of procurement with CETA, the department has then come to a stage where we are not able to have up-to-date infrastructure, and we're operating on outdated technologies. But our situation was further compounded by the implementation of projects like the RDOMS, Chairperson, which were based on inflexible and limited development framework and inadequate architecture, and where contractual obligations prevented correctional services from owning intellectual property and source code for the developed product, thus exposing the department to the potential risk of vendor lock-in. We've been operating, Chairperson, for the benefit of members, operating also the department on a silo environment with multiple legacy systems based on obsolete technologies, where we are unable to exchange information and integrate business processes across the organization. Such environment has inhibited business flexibility, efficiency, and impacted negatively on the reliability of performance information and prevents integration with Integrated Justice System, the IJS. In line with the recommendations, Chairperson, in your King 2 and King 3 reports, we had then started to elevate the role of GDO in correctional services. And that is why we have started to position the branch GDO to be the strategic partner and enabler of the department in the quest to achieve objectives of the white paper on correction and white paper on remand. This branch has established leading ICT capabilities and leveraged on innovative business solutions to enable and to support the department's strategy through special focus on the internal procurement, management of ICT network and infrastructure, security technologies across various facilities within the department, and to ensure that we are better integrated into the DCS technology landscape. Through the coming years, a centralized and integrated architecture and integrated inmate management system that aims to achieve an authoritative single view of an inmate that would improve inmate identification, data accuracy, and security will be developed and implemented. An enterprise architecture platform is also being procured to provide for enterprise-wide systems deployment and standardization for business processes across the DCS environment. That platform will hence enable the IMS project to integrate, communicate, share, and exchange information with other members of the JCBS cluster via the much-acclaimed integrated justice system. This modernization, Chairperson, will leverage on a core-sourcing strategy to provide an optimum mix of internal and external ICT services at the center level and ensure ICT governance processes and standards are consistently applied across the department. The Department of Correctional Services, Chairperson, as has been the case with our audit and also opinion from the Auditor General, we have been having a twin problem of consultants, contractors, and agencies, meaning outsourced services. In the year 2008 and 2009 to 2010, the Auditor General has found that the extent of consultants used by the ICT branch was on the increase, and it seems that the unit is becoming more and more dependent on the services of consultants. The ratio of consultants to official increased from 4 to 1 in 2007-08 to 9:1 in 2008-09 financial years. And some of these consultants were also rendering administrative tasks. The staff establishment for the unit was last updated in 2003. And there was a vacancy rate of just over 66%. And governance arrangements to employ and monitor the work of consultants were at that time inadequate. That is, Chairperson, the background as to the utilization of consultants and contractors. But since then, the department has implemented a number of initiatives to reduce its dependency on ICT consultants. And by that we mean revising the 2003 structure and consolidating lower level posts to provide competitive permanent positions in order to attract and retain staff. The branch has repositioned itself within the department's organizational structure with appointments at executive level of a chief deputy commissioner, level of deputy director general, as a corporate governance of ICT. And that has improved the ratio of consultants to officials from its peak of 9:1 in 2008-09-2010 to 1:1 currently, and reduced the vacancy rate of the branch from 66% to just around 10%. However, the process of filling vacant funded positions is still an ongoing process and will hopefully be completed soon. The department's officials are administratively responsible now and are part of all projects that have been implemented in that environment. Hiring and retaining scarce skills in ICT is a challenge, particularly in the public sector. This will therefore be specialized areas in the ICT environment where external resources will always be required from time to time to complement existing skills. However, to ensure that the hiring of external consultants happens in a controlled manner and benefits the organization, we will see the GDO branch using an optimum blend of internal and external skills in an efficient manner in order to establish and sustain the ICT capabilities essential in supporting the department's objectives. That strategy, Chairperson and honorable members, outlines the type and extent of consultants to be utilized, and offers extensive flexibility for capacity management, flexing of staff and specialized skills where required. In respect of the governance process, the department has ensured the following: that progress reports for services rendered by consultants are thoroughly reviewed prior payments being made. Secondly, the project managers responsible for overseeing the work of consultants have adequate contract administration skills and monitor the work performed by these consultants against service level arrangements. Thirdly, that contract with consulting firms stipulates the timeframes for the completion of activities within the service level agreement. And fourthly, there are formal processes in place to monitor the transfer of skills and to mentoring of departmental officials. The contract of consulting firms chairperson, as we have said, ended on the 31st of December 2015, and we currently are in the process of appointing contract workers that would be on our establishment in the absence of a structure that Minister Masuta has to approve. A proposal in that regard is in the Minister's office chairperson. I think it was important that I give the members of the committee background so that they also appreciate from where we come from, but also importantly, where we want to be moving forward. As I said, we have made, in the last engagement with the committee, we have made commitment, and the CDC GITO will take us through those commitments and ensure that we are able to indicate to the committee what we have achieved and what, if there are any challenges going forward, what is it that we intend to do. I would request, therefore, Chairperson, that we give Ms. Msupe an opportunity to address the committee and yourself. Thank you, sir.
Ms. Msupe, over to you. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, members and the Chairperson. I will outline the progress in terms of IT modernization projects that we have embarked on. Also, just to take it from our last presentation that was done on the 23rd of June 2015, where we have spoken around a number of challenges that the department is facing, which included the issues on ARDOMS and RES, where we were, that we have signed a settlement agreement with Dimension Data to conclude the work that was supposed to be done within the 2008-2009-10 financial years. And I will make a conclusion in terms of that, of where we are. We also outlined a number of issues on consultants, the number of consultants that we have, where Commissioner has also mentioned that the contract has ended on the 31st of December 2015. So currently, we don't have any consultants on site. We are in the process of recruiting contract workers based on the proposed structure that we have forwarded to the National Commissioner. We also highlighted a number of issues around CETA, where we have said that we still have procurement issues with CETA, especially with regards to the implementation of the connectivity to our various centers that has to connect to CETA. The timelines in terms of connectivity has unfortunately not improved. The timelines is still within 9 to 12 months, which becomes a challenge for us to have performance information. So CETA is still a challenge together with Telkom, because what they doing is, if the lines are stolen more than 3 times, they don't want to replace those data lines. So it takes them time to have an alternative solution and alternative infrastructure to connect the sites. So we still have that challenge. We had a debt of 34 million, which is still outstanding with CETA, as they have not provided us with any proof of any supporting documents in line with the debt. So we still have the debt of 34 million that we have not settled between ourselves and CETA. The last page that we have outlined in the presentation was the modernization, which we'll talk about from this point. mouse has disappeared. Okay. Yes. I just wanted to project that we can do it manually. Apologies for that, chairperson. The presentation will outline the IT modernization project, which calls for the enterprise architecture, the IT infrastructure projects that we are currently embarking on, as well as the integrated inmate management system, the outcomes related dispute, and as the chairperson has indicated, you dealt with the electronic monitoring investigation, so we'll not touch on that one. The enterprise architecture. Normally, people will not understand what the enterprise architecture is all about. The purpose of the enterprise architecture program is to develop a platform by which to improve performance of DCS functions and services through optimal investment, acquisition, and operation of ICT resources and processes. The development process prescribes that the business architecture, which is business performance objectives, functions, and services, drives the development of ICT architecture to ensure that ICT investments are contributing directly to the performance of the department, subsequently that of government. What we have found out was because there are no prescribed way of how to acquire ICT in government in totality, people will do random acquisition of systems. So just because a person has seen that there's a specific system somewhere, he automatically wants that system to be implemented within an environment. So with the enterprise architecture, we say that you first need to define the need. You need to have a requirement analysis, define the need, define the business processes that are going to be performed by that system. After doing those business processes, you automate them. You make sure that the existing systems do not have any process or information that you require. If they do, you don't have to procure a new system. If they don't, then the procurement process proceeds. So the architecture is similar to when you are building a house and you need an architect or a draftsman to do the planning of the house. So we say that we want to implement this in the department so that we can avoid the repetition of developing or acquiring systems that are not required by the department, as we did mention that the issues of outdoor projects are procured but they are not properly implemented. It's because there was no architecture in the department to decide which systems need to be acquired. So what we're currently finding is in the department, there are so many systems that exist and that are not connecting properly to each other, that are not talking to each other, but because the enterprise architecture is a new initiative, it's also in the industry as well, totally it lacks experience, so we don't have a defined architecture. The department doesn't have a defined architecture. The process analysis and management is inconsistent. It doesn't align to the business or to IT. The rebuilding business and IT infrastructure, you have totally unstructured technology landscape, meaning that you buy various brands of technology which are not integrated to each other. You have limited understanding for technology outside the ecosystem. We found out that we still have technology that was last implemented around 1994, 1995, which nobody supported anymore. We have, if you look at our governance, risk and compliance, there's a complexity in executing the strategy. Internal controls and compliance are lacking, as we have seen that. So part of the process within the enterprise architecture is to make sure that we understand our governance, we understand understand our risks, we understand and measure our compliance in terms of our governance and processes and policies. So what we want to do with the enterprise architecture is to have an improved delivery of ICT services with reduced IT portfolio complexity. We want to make sure that when we have developed or implemented a solution, everybody understands it. We should not have an issue that says 10 years later, we are saying that there was a specific system that was there, what happened to it, which is currently happening within the department. So we want to reduce the complexity of IT portfolio as we are streamlining it. We want to make sure that we have a virtual dashboard to report on financials, on governance, on key performance indicators. So Commissioner and all the executives, including the area commissioners, the regional commissioners, will be able to have a dashboard similar to the Bloomberg dashboard, where we can see the performance of the department in terms of the number of inmates, in terms of the number of inmates that goes to court, the overcrowding, the number of deaths that we might have at that point of time, the performance of the network itself. We want to make sure that within the dashboard, you are able to assess the performance of the network. If the network is down in a specific area, we need to be immediately be notified within the dashboard. Where is the network down? Why is it down? How long has it been down for? We are able to drill down to an element of a specific correctional center or community correction in terms of the support strategic planning compliance. Support integrated enterprise. We increase traceability between correction initiative and government-wide priorities. We will be able to make sure that within the integrated justice system, if an offender has been taken from theft to court, then to correctional services, we are able to trace that whole history using our integration to the IJS. So the system will also assist us to integrate various technologies that exist within government to see it as one platform and become one dashboard that is visible to every one of us. As long as you are an identified person to utilize the system, you are able to log on and see that dashboard and see that performance of the department in totality through the enterprise architecture. The second one that we are embarking on is the improvement and the upgrading of the infrastructure within the department. Infrastructure, I am talking to your cabling, areas where there's no cabling, and your switching environment, which is the physical infrastructure, ICT infrastructure within various centers. In our previous presentation, we have shown the landscape of the environment. In terms of infrastructure, we have noted that there are quite a number of sites which are remote sites that do not have connectivity, basic connectivity, which also included cabling. So we have embarked on that process. Each region is supposed to do 25% of their sites per annum. We took the decision of 25% because it was based on the value of on the budget that we have. So we could not go above that because our budget was only accommodating 25% of sites per annum until we complete the whole site. So we have done the following. The Eastern Cape have completed their 9 sites, or they will be able to complete their 9 sites. The Free State, Northern Cape, 12 sites, Gauteng, 11 sites, and KZN, 14 sites, LMN, 13 sites, and Western Cape, 8 sites. So those are the number of sites, 25% that they have identified. Some have already progressed. I know the 3 regions that are already progressing in terms of the implementation of the infrastructure, the Eastern Cape, the Western Cape, as well as Free State, Northern Cape. They are ahead of everybody else. In terms of doing cabling and infrastructure. So that is the project that we are embarking on to upgrade. upgrade our network infrastructure, which also is, we have a about 12 companies that are on our database that we use request for quotation to be able to go and do work. And each and every regional office does their own quotation basis and implementation, and they are only talking to head office in terms of making sure that their requirements are thoroughly done and adheres to the standards that we have proposed for the department. The next one is the integrated inmate management system. We embarked on this exercise to replace the current admission and release system, which is the system that we're currently using, and the community correction system, which includes health, pharmacy, spiritual care, psychological services, social work, nutrition, education, and skills development. Supports the goal of achieving a single view of offender through the single capture of an inmate and an offender information, which is basically a one-stop shop for an inmate, parolee, probationer, and as well as an offender registration. So that's our goal in terms of the IMS. It's going to run within a centralized database of inmates and offender information. Therefore, we say that a national database of parolees, probation, and offenders information will be there. It will be centrally at CETA, where we are hosting all our services, but also decentralized to specific correctional centers so that they can have ease access of their information at hand. It has a full biometric identification, which does a 10-finger print, which will be captured during admission and be utilized through the life cycle, including attendance of program or any other movement within the justice system, including Home Affairs. So as we capturing, currently as we capturing the fingerprints of the offender, through IJS we'll send the fingerprints, then IJS will send those fingerprints to Home Affairs to verify that if that offender has an ID, if an offender doesn't have an ID, it comes back to us, it notifies us that the offender doesn't have an ID, then we are able to start the process of ensuring that offenders are identified and are captured. In future, when the police are ready with theirs, it means that that offender, when he's arrested for the first time, those fingerprints will be captured, except will be transferred via the IJS to DCS. Then we don't have to recapture the fingerprints. When the offender gets to DCS, when we put the fingerprint, it will automatically just verify the offender identity, then be able to send back and say that yes, we have incarcerated a specific person. It has a facilities module that will determine availability of bed space up to the cell level, where we are able to see the number of bed space per cell, and we'll be able to see where there's overcrowding within our facilities. So the biometric integration is done using a plug-in architecture. The biometric integrated into a user authentication and inmate management module. The types of biometric integration that we have looked at is fingerprints, facial retina, finger veins, scars and marks, as well as tattoos. The proposed machine engine can perform in excess of 100 million unique fingerprint matches per second. There's the technology that we have looked at within the IMS itself, and we obviously some of the devices themselves will be quite intensive and will be quite expensive, but the first one that we have opted for will be the fingerprint as well as the facial to make sure that we do have full pictures of the offenders. So the technologies varies with the type of devices. What we looked at as well was to use mobile devices, because we know that counting of offenders and verification of offenders normally takes quite an intense process within the department, and it takes time. We have looked at mobile devices that will be used in the facility and outside the facility, meaning that in the community corrections, those mobile devices will be used. Will be used at centers for inmate tracking, used at community correction for parolee tracking, but not like electronic monitoring. There are certain offenders that are not tagged, so the official still needs to visit them to their respective homes. So they'll be able to take that device because it's loaded already with the names and numbers and pictures of those offenders or parolees. When they get to a site, they easily take the device, ask the offender to put their fingerprint on it, then the picture and the location of that offender will be registering within the device itself. Mobile device registration, so obviously for a device to leave our environment, it has to be properly registered so that it cannot just disappear. So we ensure that there's that security. Integrated user authentication for mobile device. Geographic location tagging for scanned information. So when you identify a person, it will be able to tell us where, what time, who has been located within that route or distance calculated between location and the printout to text direction is provided. At times, we want to look at the direction and the distances that the official will take to travel to a specific environment and to make sure that the routes they take are safe and all that. So we also can map all that direction within the device itself. So the integrated facilities management system within that is it integrates facilities allows for the design of the tier floor plan layouts and drill down capability within our facility. It overlays will be used to show information of states of various layout components. A summarized view of occupancy statistics are provided for a selected facility or area within the facility so that decision can be made by the operator around the placement of inmates to minimize the risk of conflict. So the solution itself is able to give you the layout of the facility in totality. It's able to give you each and every cell, the occupancy within the cell. The red will indicate that the cell is overcrowded. The amber will indicate that there are still a number of bed space that exist. And the green will say that the cell has availability of beds. It will be able to tell you the number of people, the age group, if they are gang affiliated or not gang affiliated, and able to give you various information that you can request about per cell if you need that. So we take a layout of our facility and put it on the system and take the number of beds per cell and able to calculate. So it will be able to calculate for us the overcrowding within each and every facility that we have. So the system basically will give you the total picture of your overcrowding up to a cell level. Then you'll be able to make a decision when there's a new incomer into the centers, whether you need, what cell you need to put them on, what cell you can't put them in. If it's a juvenile, you'll be able to know which cells have what age group, then distinguish correctly. In terms of the e-tender process, we embarked on an open and transparent process that was used to invite suitable bidders to submit proposals in respect of the in-tender. The Intergritron integrated solution proposal was found to have responded to specification of the bid as advertised, and its financial proposal was found to be reasonable and cost-effective in that it was within the DCS predetermined pre-tender estimate. The tender was awarded at a cost of 378,084,206.08 for a period of 3 years for all the 243 correctional centers and 228 community corrections, also including our central nerve center at SITA, where we are hosting the solution. So it will cover all the areas and be deployed to all those facilities within the correctional center. Furthermore, the acquisition of GIM solution is related to the service backed by the funding from the integrated justice system, where part of the budget for the IMS implementation will be coming from the IJS. Every, on an annual basis, we do a project plan and project implementation and submit to IJS, which they submit to National Treasury, requesting for funding to fund certain projects that are also related to IJS. So we have been allocated, that was the sum for last year, probably with the revised budget allocation, obviously based on the cuts that everybody has received. We also probably have also been, the budget has been cut, but formal communication still to come. But according to the 2014-15 allocation, that was the money that we were given by the IJS for the MTF period. For 15-16, we provided 86 million, and for 16-17, 120, but we're not sure if it's still the case, and for the 17-18, we were provided 150 million for the implementation of all integrated systems, but this is the budget only for correctional services. It's not the total budget of the IJS. In terms of the RDOMS update, during our last presentation, we were still in the process of implementing the settlement agreement, but unfortunately, last year we already finished, because the contract ended in March 2015. So as we have previously alluded, that the service provider during the settlement agreement could not provide the services, and the contract was terminated in March 2015. Within a period of that, they have taken us to court for the remaining amount of, I think, 17 million. Then through their legal advice, they decided to institute a summons, case number 82500 of 2015, against the department, claiming the balance of the contract plus cost in relation to the service that was not rendered. So this summons was followed by a summary judgment. The said summary judgment was opposed, and hence the application was withdrawn, and the department was granted leave to file its plea, and together with the plea, the department will also file its counterclaim. So we have filed a plea that we submitted last week with our counterclaim, in line with the money that we already paid to Dimension Data up to a cost of almost 31 million over the years starting from 2009-10, and we also have another counterclaim, because we're saying to them that we have taken time to try and make sure that there's delivery, and we still have not seen any results, therefore we are counterclaiming from them as well. So that has also been submitted, the plea has been submitted, so we're in that process of the plea with Dimension Data. Chairperson, that's the end of the presentation. Thank you very much.
National Commissioner, you indicated that you will cut to your delegation. I think you have done that. But I thought for today you would not make Ms. Musuki a lawyer to talk to us about pleas and so on. We would bring a lawyer, but I think she's done well. Honorable members, you have heard from yourselves. May I open the floor for engagement, unless National Commissioner, is there anything you want to add to? Okay. You have heard for yourself, Honorable. I haven't seen you this year.
Yes. Like I said last time, I've been moved to the lead for the photo committee, but I've been asked by address to break him up and honorable self to represent them today as the alternative.
We will miss you, and from time to time, get an excuse to come back to this committee.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable.
Start by thanking the department for the presentation. Firstly, I appreciate that the issue of consultants gradually they are being phased out. But I would like to know how much has been spent so far on consultants. And again, I would like to know as to whether capacity has been developed internally to run the IT system. From 2010 Chairperson to 2014, an amount of 626 million has been spent on IT. And therefore, I would like to know, with all these programs, IT programs, how much has been spent so far? And also, can the department unpack to me this? Their previous IT program, ICMS, Integrated Correctional Management System, and this one, Mamsi was talking about the Integrated Inmate Management System. Because when she appeared before Scopa, she said these are one and the same program. So may she kindly unpack this too. Thank you.
You know, I just want to make the following remark. That the history of this department is so complex. Because you have had a situation of instability in terms of who leads the department. And now we have a new national commissioner. And the question maybe should be, was there a handover report from what was happening before the new commissioner, national commissioner, takes over, so that we know if we are dealing with legacy problems or we are dealing with the problems of the term of office of the new national commissioner. Because I don't think that it will be fair to judge the performance of the new national commissioner in the light of the inheritance of the past. So maybe today, because we just asked for a briefing, maybe we should ask the National Commissioner to go back and tell us what are the inherited problems in detail, and then we pack them aside and say, how are you dealing with those legacy problems? What is your vision? What is it that you want to see us achieving in the remaining period? I just think that that distinction will help us not to have problems in dealing with these issues. Because you may find that there are wrong judgments made by the creditor, which led to the problem that we had. And then we may be tempted just to say this department is not doing that, not doing that, and which may not be helpful. But that's just my observation, and I stand to be corrected. But for now, let's focus on the questions that the members want to put and not make this issue an issue of a debate. Honorable Maina.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And thanks for the presentation from the department. When I listened to the background analysis presented by the National Commissioner, I have a sense that we are having a team which has inherited something from the past. And the way they have presented, it shows that we have a team that has the will to turn around the situation going forward. Now, just two issues here, Chairperson. I would like to be clarified on what could be the challenges on the issue of the infrastructure upgrade progress in various sites. How things seems to be on the 25% in every area. Housing seems to be the one lagging behind, and that's inclusive of head office. I wanted to check if you were able to check what would be the reasons why housing is lagging behind. And on the issue of RDOMs, where there are claims and counterclaims, while that situation prevails, or what is currently happening? And then, I think, Chairperson, those were my two questions. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. And thank you very much, Commissioner, for the good presentation. I think, flowing from what Honorable Mahile is saying and Honorable Chair is saying, but from where I'm sitting, Chair, that I see that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Having inherited all the problems that were there in the correctional services, because from this team that has been assembled by Commission, I agree with Honorable Mahile that there is a willingness to turn the situation around. And I think it is, like I said last week, that the report which was presented last financial year and this financial year, there is quite improvement. And I need to say this, that Commissioner, that you need to say this, that to the men and women in uniform, that is the portfolio committee, we don't take the work they are doing very light. And we appreciate the commitment to improve. And on the issue of consultants, I think we appreciate that from 66% it has went down to 10%. But what we'll appreciate more will be also a report on how we have benefited in terms of skills transfer from these consultants. I think that will be more important, because you'll know that part of the findings of the Auditor General and the findings were around this specific sector. And I'm just quite impressed that these teams seem to be resolving a lot of problems, if it will indeed be a one-stop shop for all these problems that the the Deputy Commissioner has raised, but I think from where I'm sitting, we need to give it a clear chance to deal with it. But one matter that we have not touched on, which I think is very important, Chair, is, you see, we speak about integrated justice system. And what we have seen, even ourselves when we are still going to court, Chair, when you arrive at court first time, most of the cases are get to be postponed. There are a lot of postponement. And the department will seem to be having a lot of transportation of those who are in remand. You must transport them from this spot to this spot. So I think as part of also cost curtailment measures, we may need to look at how does this system assist us, because it may assist us, we may postpone the case whilst the inmate is still inside. If we know that is going to be a postponement, what intervention can this system do to ensure that we don't get the DCS officials transporting a lot of inmates, only to find that it's going to be postponement. So I think the system must also be able to respond to this so that it really intervenes. And I heard that Peter, there are some deaths and so on. The extent to which we have dealt with those deaths, because they may interrupt the system. I think we'll be interested to know that. And we have raised the issue of Telkom. A very serious matter. I think last year we have passed the legislation around cable theft and so on. So what will be the backup mechanisms in terms of dealing with this system? Because once those cables have been stolen, then we may interrupt the system unnecessarily. And we have spoken about sites that some percent and the size and so on. I think it's at page number 6. But we have not said it's a percentage of how many sites. How many of the sites and how many are left, how many have been done? Because the report just speaks about those percentages as randomly. So one critical method we have raised is that every region may have to deal or develop some way of dealing with this matter. I think that may create problems. We must find a way of centralizing this matter for purposes of accountability. So I don't have region A doing it in this way and region B doing it the other way around, which may not align with all other regions. So I think we need to centralize, must manage at the central point so that what is happening in Mpumalanga is exactly what we will find in the Eastern Cape. I think that would be important, Commissioner. And the issue of the court, and I think we appreciate the report given last week in terms of how we are dealing with the disputes that arose out of this. Ardons and so on. I think the report is in order, but just to encourage you to look at alternative dispute resolution. It's not always the case that when we have a dispute, we must always go to court, litigate, file papers and so on. We may sit down around the table and just check alternatives so that we can cut a lot of costs around this matter, but the report given last week, I think it's satisfactory on how we are dealing with this matter. And I think that is that, Chair. And just finally, to appreciate the work that the team is putting in the department. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Make one remark that luckily the present commissioner was actually active for some time. I think the major problems as far as we the DCS is concerned is the question of how inmates are treated within, which leads to litigation. The question of being sodomized, the question of being ill-treated, the others killed. Is this system able to monitor what happens in the cells 24 hours? If not, what can be done to address? You mentioned that it also shows that inmates are affiliated to gangsters. How does it show that? And also, does it also detect members who are members of the gang involved in gangsters? If those are able to be solved, and the question of overcrowding. There are many things that contribute to overcrowding. And one of them is beyond your control, in the sense that you're keeping some awaiting trial sometimes, and you don't know how many will be in a particular time. But there's also a contribution that is made by the DCS, which is not, for example, quite a number of people who are due for parole cannot go to parole because, on the one hand, we didn't provide enough what is necessary before they are being given parole. Is this system going to assist? If so, how? The other question related to this was the question of engaging. Do you engage in these court cases, still engage private lawyers? Do you have any plan to try integrate from that? Employing lawyers just to call other lawyers, engage other lawyers. I'm just wanting to find out when is this likely to start, and so on. But particularly, I'm very much concerned about the major problem that we're having, which is when people are put in prison, it's either a death penalty for them, or they are being exposed to torture and abuse. Surely that will lead to litigation, and it can absolutely drain all your budget. And so I think key things that we need to focus on. This is why at some stage I requested that there be in each and every cell there be cameras, so that there's somebody 24 hours watching each and every cell. In that way, at least people will be scared to commit these crimes. Otherwise, you are. What plans do you have? Or is this system not assisting in any manner towards that? Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Just to welcome the presentation and to say that everything still sounds futuristic. I want to come to a situation where all of this is actually being implemented so that we can manage to have a well-run correctional centers. One thing that is also important is to help us understand in terms of Ardoms and the case that has been sent to court is what was the value of the contract? Because now the claim is 17 million, what was the value of the contract? And you are alleging that you are also putting a counter claim of 31 million. So out of what was the value, how much has been done, and as to how much what has been done is worth. I think it would just help us to have an idea in terms of historic arrangements that you might actually find yourself caught up in. But at the same time, for us it will be important to see this really being fast-tracked, because we've been talking about this IT upgrade for quite some time now. And it will be really good to see some movement around along those lines. And also to try and investigate, because previously there has been an IT and system within the department as to what has happened to the system that existed, so that we don't create white elephants. When the Temujisa is there, then there is this one. Then you go, you have paid a lot of money, by the time you leave it remains there, and then a new one is started. It will actually help just to ensure that we build on what is available moving into the future. Thank you, Chairperson. I think those are my comments. And the timelines, just before I end, it will be good for us to know in terms of what you're doing, because so now you're actually upgrading, you're building a system and you're creating a cabling sites. If we can know, like, for now, what I can see, and you'll help me to understand it, you've actually implemented what appears to be 19%, that is on page 6. By when do you see the project ending? And by when do you think that you will have done what, so that we manage to move with you in terms of implementation of the plan? Thanks.
When I spoke about handover, I said so because my little experience is that in any situation, you need to know where the buck stops. But when everybody is acting and acting out, and people are not even sure of the extent of their authority, then you have a problem. And that's why last week I said, Commissioner, that don't tell us that other opinions say this. You have to form an opinion and test that opinion with the leadership that surrounds you and act. It's better for us to discuss your actions and say, if we were in your boots, this is what we would have done. But you have really to decide and act, because as the Honorable Majake is saying, things may remain futuristic because we are still waiting to hear all these sort of other opinions. So you have authority by law to exercise that authority. We want to see action. But also, I think Honorable Bongo spoke about postponement, which is something that is not in your hands. And I think we need to deal with that matter. Because I had a meeting when I was at court in Pretoria. I had an informal discussion with a very senior prosecutor. And I said, but you are so senior, you have been long here, you should have been a magistrate by now. If I had the authority, I would have promoted you. And now she said, I don't want to be part of that group who sit in their offices and don't come to court. And that's why matters, we postpone matters. Victoria Central and meet with the prosecutors, hear their story, meet with the magistrates, hear their story. Because what they fail to do in that institution then creates problems for the correctional centers. And then we sit here and say correctional centers, there is overcrowding, there is this. Whereas the problem comes from elsewhere. So I would want to persuade my colleagues that I think we need a visit to that court and see what's happening. But there was also the question of transport costs. I think also it's related to that, and it's something that we need to address, because if you are transporting these inmates up and down, that also increases the risk of flight, the risk of violence, and so many other things. Someone raised the question of the autonomy of the regions. You see, this also raises the question of where does the buck stops? When we sit here, we don't invite the regions, but there may be problems that emanate from the regions. And we won't agree if the National Commissioner tells us that it's not me, it is the regions. So, which means if it's because of the law that there is this type of authority, a devolution of authority, then this committee must look at that law and we change that law. Because you can't sit in the same ship and there are two commanders, one wants to go back, another one wants to go forward, and then you end up sinking the ship. So we would want to hear from yourself. Why is this? What is this? Is that the problem of autonomy? Does that autonomy come from the law? Is that autonomy desirable or not? But also, I got a call. There seems to be someone who is giving offenders my number. I don't know whether I'm supposed to be a prison warder or what. But I got a call saying that in the Western Cape, there's a lot of racism in the prisons, that African employees are saying they must replace the colored employees and harassing the colored employees. And I just thought that if that is the case, that would create a very serious problem, because at the moment the whole country is discussing the problem of racism. And historically, colored people and African people, Indian people, are all groups as the black people. And all these three groups were victims of apartheid, oppression, and so on and so on. We can't at this stage in our history have a situation where there is racism between colored and African, and I think that matter has to be looked into and be dealt with immediately. We can't have that at this stage of our development, otherwise we'll be moving backwards. We can't accept such a situation. You know, when I walk around sometimes, I see people who say they are African. I see colors in them. Others say they are colors, I see Africans in them. And actually in South Africa, there are very few people who are not colored. So we can't be going back into that area. We should really pursue the agenda of social cohesion, nation building. The bottom line is that we are all human beings and we must relate to one another as human beings. This relation is based on color, doesn't add any value to anything that we want to do. It's not helpful in building the nation. So I want to appeal that I hope that maybe it's an individual opinion, but we, despite that, we need to find out if there's no racial problem in our correctional centers, Africans against colored people or vice versa. Thank you. Honorable
Honorable Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee, I had wanted to have dealt with the Western Cape matter before the committee would have asked me about it, because it was one of the issues that I needed to have reported to the chair and committee. Now, because of commitment, I was not able to have done that. And Chairperson and members, I need to apologize in that regard. But indeed, Chair, there is some kind of racism in the Western Cape. And that has been compounded by a constitutional court ruling that still has to be made by the constitutional court. The senior colored officials have taken the department to the constitutional court because they felt that they were not being promoted, and that instead African officials were seen to be the ones that were ready for promotion. That's actually the basis of this unfortunate thing that is happening in the Western Cape. I have raised it with the Regional Commissioner, Mr. Jack Klaas, and the Deputy Regional Commissioner, Mr. Freddie Engelbart. And as I said, Chairperson, I had planned to have come here and dealt with it myself, because it is not right. It's something that even borders on criminality. And I would therefore request the chairperson and members of the committee to give me an opportunity to get to the bottom of this and provide then to the committee a report that would say, this is what I found, this is what I'm going to do, and does that. Because, chairperson, it really is painful to want to talk about it at this point in time. Painful in the sense that you do not imagine that there would be officials of correctional services at SMS level who are involved in this kind of behavior. And therefore, for us, it is shameful, and we'll deal with it. And those that are responsible for this kind of environment would then be dealt with properly. I'm requesting, Chairperson, that I be given that opportunity so that I can then provide you with a report in that regard. Chair, maybe I need to start from what you had sort of concluded with. The Correctional Services Department Center of Power is national office, and therefore regional commissioners and their management team are actually delivering on services based on the delegations that have been given to them by the national commissioner, including the executive authority. And therefore, there is no such thing as practicing another correctional services elsewhere. Our rules are the same, and I and the team in head office take full responsibility of anything that has happened in the region. And by that we mean, if some of our commissioners have not complied with the law, have not complied with our own prescripts, it should be upon myself and this team to investigate, and where there has to be action taken, that action is taken and a report be provided to the leadership. And with that, I'm trying to say, Chairperson, defender of authority of correctional services resides in the National Commissioner's Office in head office, and also any other authorities that Minister Masuta and his deputy may from time to time assign to the commissioner. So I'm trying to say to the committee chairperson that if we have delegated or decentralized a certain authority, it means only one thing, that if myself and this team from national office realizes that what we have delegated is not done to the full and in the manner in which it was decided, then the department from head office should then take over that delegation and put in place a correction mechanism, and when necessary to take action against those that have not complied with the delegation as intended in the delegations of the department. I would like to be given the opportunity to provide to the community all the delegations that Minister Masuta and other ministers before him have delegated to the national commissioner, to the regional commissioner, and your area commissioners, so that when we talk of non-compliance and where we would then need ownership of decisions that have been taken, that we are able to say, okay, here is this rule, it was delegated, and therefore it needed to have been done that way. I would like to provide that and request the team to assist me in providing that as urgently as possible to the committee. The concern raised by members of the portfolio committee with regard to our overcrowding phenomenon. Chairperson, I need to say upfront that there are a number of factors that play a role in our overcrowding challenge. And offenders being remanded in custody by our various courts is one of those causes. What I would like to say to the committee is where we experience this overcrowding, especially at our bigger places, bigger cities, Johannesburg, Cape Town, Durban, Port Elizabeth, Bloemfontein, is as a result of the large numbers of people that are flocking towards those cities, some of them not being able to find work, others being displaced by whatever reasons that have done that, and then the increase in criminality takes place, and therefore, once arrested, most of these people do not have fixed addresses. And without a fixed address, there's no way that the court will grant you bail, and therefore are remanded in custody, apart from other factors. And therefore, Chairperson, for us to provide the committee with a reasonable exposition of our situation, would then mean we need to go and provide to you the underlying factors. But crime in our country, at our urban big cities, is a serious challenge. And that mainly is also caused by substance abuse in the form of liquor, in the form of drugs and contraband. And therefore, Chairperson, we're trying to deal with that situation. Just for the committee's sake, we're having a matter now with regard to Portsmouth Remand Detention Facility with an NGO, Sonke Gender Justice, where they are questioning the overcrowding levels at that institution, but also the inhumane treatment, because the facility is a three-story building, and therefore you only have one area at ground level where all offenders need to take exercise. Now you have to schedule the exercises. You can't open the entire prison at one given time. and that causes offenders to then say that we are not getting the exercise that we are entitled to in terms of the constitution of the Republic of South Africa, in as far as it talks to detained people. That also affects the manner in which we provide food to offenders, in that instead of having the 14-hour period, we then find that we're giving offenders sometimes food either too early or too late, and that causes the action that I said Sonke is having with us, where they are not only charging correctional services but also wanting to charge the government of the Republic in a similar manner that Section 27 did with the Department of Basic Education. So these are the challenges that we face on a daily basis, and that also then, Chairperson, causes that a contingent liability of correctional services as a government entity is then very high, and causes that from time to time we need to have a vigilant team of officials whose main aim and objective is to look at that liability, and where cases are coming against us as litigation, we are then able to deal with them properly and in the correct manner by soliciting senior counsel's opinion. And here the state attorney plays a very, very, very big role in assisting us with that responsibility. And the Member of Parliament is quite correct, Chairperson, that there are injuries that happen in our facilities. Yes, there is rape that is happening, and also at some stage there are deaths that happen in our institutions as a result of our situation of overcrowding and gang activities that are at these big institutions, Chairperson. And one needs to then say that. Now, the Honourable Member is asking whether the system will assist us. When you look at the system's advantages that would come, it would then be able to say, in cell one, we have offenders that belong to the 26th gang. And therefore, once we have identified that, we should then have a strategy to ensure that those that are in that cell are never injured, are never abused, and we need as a department, but as that institution, to have then put in place a mechanism to deal with that. Gangsterism, Chairperson, in years ago, we said comes from the mines and from correctional facilities. But we have now realized that the mushrooming of gangs actually also starts in our communities outside of correctional services. And therefore, the strategy that we have developed with NICOG to deal with gangsterism in our institution is then a strategy that talks to having obtained intelligence capacity, having developed a strategy how to meaningfully deal with gang leaders in our country. And why I'm saying this, Chairperson, is that we have seen that gangsterism is playing a significant role in young people committing serious and heinous crimes like your robberies, your murder, and your gang rapes. And that is the concern of us in the Republic, in the JCPS cluster, to deal with this challenge that is within our institution. So that system will help us to know exactly where X is, where J is, and therefore to make sure that we do not at any stage cause that J should go to the cell where X is, because they would then be opposing gang leaders. So that's what it will help. Chairperson, coming back to the questions and challenges that have been identified, I must say, even at this point, Chairperson, that yes, we had struggled quite a lot in terms of ICT in the department, because we have had a number of systems, and it would help us to then provide to the committee and yourself, Chairperson, a complete narrative of what has taken this department, what has taken place in correctional services, to whom were these projects awarded, what amount has been spent on this project, and whether there has been any value add to government or correctional services as a whole. I think, Chairperson, the opportunity that you give us would then make us to go back and gather all the information and bring it then to yourself and the committee to then maybe firstly read through, and then we can come and do a presentation in that regard. But I can surely say now, Chairperson, that having taken a stance that IT should be an enabler, and IT should also be a strategic partner that is going to enhance our work, we have taken a decision that we're going to be investing more and more in IT. The committee was quite correct to have had a concern that consultants have taken over that space for a very long time, and consultants are in the business of making money. And therefore, the concern that was raised by the committee and other committees to say that the route that you have taken is not going to benefit anybody at all. And you then have to start owning your IT, owning it, having people that are working for correctional services for government who will then be responsible for your IT plan. I think we have taken that conscious decision, and we are going to be supporting the leadership that is there and ensure that we have capacity in that regard. Chairperson, I would like to because colleagues are here with me, to also, where I have not come up to come in. The concern by Honorable Maila Chairperson with the issue of claim, counterclaim, and so on. We have taken it up, and maybe we needed to also have given the committee the benefit that even before we went the court route, or they went the court route, we had put in a settlement with CETA and Correctional Services and ARDO and Dimension Data to say, yes, you have had challenges. We're giving you an opportunity now to overcome these challenges and put the system in place. We had gone on site to say, here we are, we want to see how it operates and whether it would be in a position to provide us with what we had said as our objectives. And it did not happen in that fashion. And that is why I think we have gone that route. And we would like to again also indicate, Chairperson and members of the committee, that it is not our intention to go to court on matters that can be resolved amicably in a boardroom. However, we are the guardians of this little budget that the government has given to us. And we should then therefore make it a point that we are able to account for each and every cent that has been spent by correctional services, so that tomorrow when questions are asked, we do not get to a point where we are unable to clearly state what has happened. And the environment in which we operate, Chairperson, I must state as well that it's an environment that can at any time become conducive to being taken advantage of, unless we have put in place our own mechanisms to ensure that the state benefits from each and every project that it has embarked on. And therefore, I'm saying, Chairperson, in this little period that I've been leading this team, I can assure you that we're trying to do our business differently to what it has been done. We're also working on our turnaround time and would like to come to the committee on projects that we have started and projects that we have completed and concluded correctly, so for the benefit of the state, so that the committee is then able to see whether we are delivering or not. And maybe, Chairperson, from my side, let me allow colleagues to come in here so that they also participate in this discussion. Chairperson, thank you very much.
Deputy National Commissioner, Ms. Musubia, Mr. Legege, Mr. Katenga, you are free to participate.
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of the handover documents and the skills transfer, the consultants have done handover documents. We made sure that each and everyone does a handover document, and because of the newly appointed people that started in January, they use those documents to ensure they can support the environment, which they did. Where we were not sure, were incomplete, we were able to have access to say that in this point you have documented the following, but we're still not getting it right. They assisted them to complete and make sure that the documents that were submitted are properly implementable within the environment. So they have done a full handover documentation for every system that they were supporting within the environment. So that we made sure it's correctly done. Connectivity with Telkom and CETA, it still remains a challenge. What we're hoping to achieve with the system is we decentralizing certain elements with the handheld devices. So the handheld devices will have a SIM card that will directly talk to the central system at CETA to make sure there's always connectivity, but that will have limited information. Locally, again, there will be a full system that runs, so if there's no connectivity to CETA, you can still store data locally, then later and when the connectivity comes back, it reconnects to the central system at CETA, so that all the centers can have visibility of that information. We're doing 90 sites per annum in terms of the central cabling that we have provided standards, we have provided documentation, so we're guiding through the regions in terms of this implementation. We could not do it centrally because cabling is physical implementation on a site. Capacity that we have in head office is not adequate to monitor the sites, the centers. So in the centers there are IT technicians that will be monitoring that project with the guidance from head office where they are having issues. In terms of the cost and the value, as Commissioner has alluded, we'll give a proper narrative and documentation that states exactly what project costs how much and who was implementing, if that project has been implemented or not implemented. We'll start backwards from 2008 because some of the things, unfortunately, are historical. We need to have details of information that we can take, and some also includes the monies that have been paid to CETA. All the contracts that we have or all the projects that we are running are three-year projects, obviously based on the bill or on the budget that we have. We can only limit ourselves in terms of budget, but if we have more money, we are able to implement within a shorter period of time. The system is customizable to the requirements of the department. So any information that the department needs, we are able to create a field and say that you can gather that information here. So it's not a out-of-the-shelf system as we had with many systems that we tried to implement, because we have seen that is not functional within the department, and therefore it's customizable to a full extent. Naming everything, if you want to change remand tomorrow to be something else, we are able to change it. It's that flexible within the system. We hoping that in future we are able to demo the system live and be able to show that we can work on the system. Previously, the reason why the system before was called Integrated Correctional Management System, which is similar to Integrated Inmate Management System, was that when we got to the IJS and proposed the name, there were so many ICMS systems that it was creating a confusion. So it's all about a name. There's no change. The content, the scope of work has not changed. It's the same system. It's just that we had to play around with the names because there were too many ICMS. So when we were in that group, if you talk about ICMS, are we talking about the set ICMS? Which one are we talking about? Everybody has an ICMS within them. So we just had to change the name to what is more applicable to the department, which is inmate management system. An inmate can be a probationist, a parolee, a remandee, so it encompasses all that, and it's also in line with the white papers and the acts within the correctional services. Thank you, Chairperson. We covered all the questions.
Thank you. Chairperson, yes, thank you very much. The honourable member raised the issue of a cost of remands to court. Chairperson, yes, it's the state that pays for transport. In our case, the Department of South African Police Services, those that have not been sentenced, it is their responsibility to take them to court. But what we have done with the prosecuting authority and justice, in our big facilities like your Portsmouth, your Johannesburg, Pretoria, and so on, we have courts inside the institution, which purpose is to do the remanding. In other words, where a case has to be postponed, the offender does not have to go to court. You only go to court when now this matter is going to be set down. So we link via video with a magistrate at the court, and then you would remand this offender to say you'll come to court on this particular day, your matter has been remanded for further investigation, whatever the reasons are. So we tried together with the police and the justice to reduce the cost, but also the risk. Members would remember that we had experienced a lot of escapes of offenders en route to court, especially in Johannesburg, where trucks have been hijacked and offenders being unlocked and then ran away. So we're trying to attend to that. That's why these courts were then established, and they are working, especially at the big institutions where we have the challenge of remand. Chairperson, the concern that the Member of Parliament is raising with regard to cameras themselves, we spoke about it last week, and we have taken the advice of the Chairperson. We will shortly come to a conclusion and a decision on this matter, because it is also very clear to us, Chairperson, that we need some sort of surveillance inside ourselves, and trying to not attend to it decisively is not helping anybody. And therefore, we will definitely take a decision on that. The decision actually has been taken, is that it needs now to be formalized and be implemented, so that we are then able to assure South Africans that when people are in our facilities day and night, their safety and security shall be taken into consideration. Chairperson, the member also raised the concern of torture. Now, in terms of the Act, Chairperson, torture has been defined in a particular manner that would enable whoever reads that section to understand actually what torture is. Now, in our facilities, what is happening mostly is assault and abuse. And we have gone on record to have stated that case, that our offenders and officials, but also officials against offenders, is as a result of assault, them being assaulted, and then getting injured and being abused by other offenders and or officials. And that's why in our case we are able to do that. Maybe just for the committee's sake and benefit, the chairperson would remember we had a huge case at St. Albans, the McCallum matter, which was resolved last year, chairperson. And the South African government will also again later next month appear in the International Court at Geneva to go and defend the government as not being one of the governments that torture human beings. So that point, chairperson, is crucial for the committee to take note of, because as the oversight institution that has been appointed by Parliament, your other responsibility is also to ensure that no torture does take place in our institutions, and therefore mechanisms have to be put in place to ensure that we comply with that constitutional mandate. Chairperson, I think your intention to visit maybe a facility and also some courts, we will appreciate that we do that. And also maybe from IT side where we have installed, so that the chairperson installed a court, we have installed some of the systems that the committee then gets the benefit to see how we are operating. I think that it has a great deal. And therefore, I think, chairperson, I need to get with yourself in touch and have a decision as to when can that be and where, so that we do not unnecessarily interrupt your program as members of Parliament. We'll appreciate that very much, chairperson.
I think members will not have a problem if we ask the committee secretary to liaise with yourself, and then we take that matter forward. Maybe as a committee, we actually need to ask ourselves. We have been talking about integrated justice systems for the past 20 years. Have we actually succeeded in putting that system together? And if we did, is it actually producing results? I think we need to address that question. But secondly, we may be missing the point. Because we are dealing with a society that is becoming sick and sick and sick every day. And the question is, what is the problem in our society that is getting sick to the extent of its own destruction? Now, I recall that on the 18th of April 2002, government launched a moral regeneration movement, and government is putting money into that movement every month. And I thought that maybe the purpose of that was to heal the society. And if that movement is helping to heal the society, we would see a reduction in the incidences of crimes such as gangsterism, alcohol and drug abuse, gang rapes, violence, and protest. Now, it would seem we're throwing money into the pit because we're not achieving any of those things. Now, what is then the relevance of this moral regeneration? Does it mean that maybe it's not properly structured because it doesn't seem to give us what we want? So I'm saying therefore that let's review this integrated justice system. Is it properly structured? Is it producing results? This moral regeneration movement, is it achieving results? And now, the
challenge that we are facing, I think, is really a societal matter. It's not a correctional services matter. And there's nothing on earth that you can do to solve this problem. Society itself has got to look at its own structures that are designed to deal with matters, and society has to come to the table. Now, that makes me to recall a celebration yesterday of the Chinese New Year, because I've been wondering why China, with more than a billion people, they don't have the problems that we have. Now, they explain the New Year, and when they explain, they emphasize the oneness of nature and humanity, the harmony between nature and humanity, harmony within society itself, the importance of family and community values. So you can see that the whole system is to build human beings and produce useful and peaceful citizens. Are we doing that ourselves with our many churches and many things? Are we doing this type of thing? Now, I'm tempted to also say, for 20 years we have been saying we want to eradicate informal settlement. And the more we talk about their eradication, the more they increase. And when you go to Alexander next to Sante, that's where the biggest problem of human settlement is. Now, these people are working to produce their wealth in Sante, but they live in this squalor condition. You go to Midrand, where big businesses, you look at the settlements there. So it would mean that we are also not addressing the socio-economic conditions which are causing the problems that we have. Now, therefore, I think that maybe we need to review our approaches. Now, I'm wondering whether maybe the time has not come that maybe we should have an endeavor on this matter. The churches, you have SACC, you have South African Bishops Conference, you have the Muslims, you have the Jewish Board of Deputies, you have African religions. If all of them were addressing the question of the Sikh society, we should have a difference. Or then if we have an endeavor, hear from them. There's some noise from some quarters, I don't know where from. There's some noise from some quarters. If all these institutions were doing what they're supposed to be doing, why is the problem deepening? Why can't we have an endeavor where we sit with these people as well as sit with the relevant government departments, justice, social development, and those who must eradicate this informal settlement, and just find out what are our limitations? Because we cannot spend another 5 years coming here to say the prisons are overcrowded, there's gangsterism, there's all these things. So which means we are using parliament just to lament. We don't have a solution to this. So this is what I would suggest to this committee, that maybe we sit with yourselves and then we plan some kind of endeavor to say, where are we, why are we here, for how long are we going to be in this situation? Because in 20 years' time, there will be no nation to talk about. If all these things that are happening, our young people are involved in these things, and these young people are, we say, are our future. What type of future is it that we are looking forward to?
So that would be my proposal.
But we can come here to lament for another 20 years. We need to check where we are, what is it that we need to do differently to move forward. But I am convinced this is not a correctional services problem, this is a social issue. And now you have also the abuse of the constitution. If an NGO goes to court and tries to force the department to stop overcrowding without addressing the causes of overcrowding, now the court can come with an order, say, stop overcrowding. But how do you stop overcrowding when the society is sick and is creating the problems? So even the, some of these NGOs, maybe they are bored, they want to keep themselves busy. So we need to address and invite them to that endeavor and ask their advice, because they want us to do something that we are unable to do. Maybe they can advise us to do it better. Honorable.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, I do support your notion that maybe something needs to be done, because it's like you actually trying to fill a bottomless pit when you try to work through correctional services in terms of the ills of our society. They are quite huge, and they actually need us to re-strategize. But not trying to come in defense of moral regeneration movement of South Africa. One thing that is important is for us to know that we need to work in partnership. So which means you need to create a partnership with moral regeneration movement of South Africa, which according to an article that was written a few days ago is only giving something like 3 million per annum. In terms of the work that they're supposed to be doing for the entire country, which would actually mean that they only have like a dot in the ocean in terms of resources to do the work that they're supposed to be doing. But if they work in partnership, if you come on board, for example, as correctional services, you can actually also help to capacitate and resource their institutions like that. Thank you, Chairperson.
I like your choice of language. 3 million for the work that they have to do. But what is that work? Because the last thing that I heard was the publication of the Charter for Positive Values. But what are the actual actions that they do on the ground with that amount? Maybe that's another. Are we entitled?
This is a debate for another forum.
Are we entitled to ask them to come and brief us on the work that they do?
They actually fall under arts and culture. It's social cohesion.
Mm-hmm.
Social cohesion falls under arts and culture, but there wouldn't be anything wrong with correctional services or Department of Justice forming a partnership with them.
Mm-hmm. Maybe there's also the problem of working in silos. We are suffering from moral degeneration in this committee, and then the people who must deal with moral degeneration and arts and culture are busy with the entertainment. You see, this silence. Maybe this is not the problem of the department. We have to sit down ourselves in another space and address this and even invite those people, other departments, and deal with this thing first. I think we may just be whiling away time in order to get salaries and achieve nothing at the end of the hour 10. But thank you for coming to the defense of our Honorable Member.
I am happy, Commissioner, for clarification. What I didn't actually get is the connection between the system and identification of against, and then how that would assist in solving against.
we prepare something on a crisis situation in society. We convene a joint meeting with other relevant parties, political, and we deal with it. With a view to discussing the endeavor of our conditions, so that we can be the owner of the problem and the idea of the question. I don't want to come back here and talk about overcrowding, because this committee cannot solve overcrowding. Society itself can help us to deal with it. So we must involve society and make it better for society.
Helmet. Thank you very much.
I think we've come to the end. Commissioner and your team, your members of the media, this brings us to the end of the meeting. Thank you very much. You are all. You can speak loudly. I think you need special things, and I have to prepare well, because I don't want to do a half job.